good to mess me up. It is always difficult to hear them sing that song and then preach. I thank God for them to the distinguished members of this platform, to all of the state, county, and local government officials, to all of you, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
I'm not sure just how I was selected to bring the keynote address. I'm not a keynoter. Amen. But I'm always willing to do that which I'm called to do.
All right, man.
And that is to proclaim the good news.
Yes.
Yeah. And there is good news today.
Yeah.
There is good news. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I like to say what the Lord said. And sit down. An old mentor told me one time, son, you can't tell it all in one day. And respect people's time. Amen.
Amen.
Just briefly from Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verses 19 and 20. We find these words written. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now. Let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a wild animal has devoured him. And then we shall see what will become of his dream. Let us pray. I'm thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it's told thy love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Let, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Bishop Hatley mentioned two heroes from our community that have fallen. And rightly, we paid homage and recognition to those two persons, Bill Thorpe and Rebecca Clark.
Amen.
Dreamers. But there's one that I would like to mention that I consider a hero in this community, an icon of sorts, one who continues the fight for justice and for equality, for educational purposes, and for affordable housing, that in the person of Dr. J.R. Manley.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Mandel, we do honor you and give you thanks for the work that you do in this community. But I want to suggest to you in these few moments that I have that dreams never die. Dreams never die. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or festers like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? The words of Langton Hughes, symbolic of Dr. King. I'm sure there were many during his campaign for justice and equality in this country, those who conspired to have him shot as he left his room on the balcony of the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968. I'm sure there were those who uttered the same words, "Let us kill the dreamer and see what will become of his dream." Dreams never die.
Amen.
This narrative, this Old Testament narrative, is prophetic in its content and in its context. In that there is a young man who dares to dream. And I suggest to all of us that we should dream. Dreams empower people, and dreams move people from one point to the next. But in the narrative, there's the story of brothers conspiring against one another. Or a group of brothers conspiring against one brother in order to divert his dream. It is amazing to me that as we look across America, this same thing happens. Those who conspire to kill dreamers. I suggest that there are dream killers in America. And though this nation rallied together to elect its first African American president, there are persons who are not in favor of it.
Amen.
And who desires to kill.
Amen.
His dream.
Amen.
His dream of uniting a people. Unifying a country.
Yeah.
Dreams of making the world a better place and this country a better place. Those who would defer his dream. But let's look at dreams. What are dreams? Are dreams just made up thoughts, illusions of the mind that come upon us as we sleep? I suggest that dreams happen outside of sleeping. But dreams happen as people see a better situation, as people look upon the degradation and the deprivation of a group of people who are much like them, who has the same blood flowing through their veins. Dreams never die. As I read this narrative over and over in my mind, there's so many themes that come forth. But it's important to understand that Joseph never lost sight of the dream. In spite of persecution, rejection, being humiliated by his own kindred, he never lost hope. for a dream.
Yeah.
In the midst even of being picked on and picked at,
yes,
by fellow prisoners,
yes,
even being tempted to defile himself and to defile others, he kept hold,
yes,
of the dream.
Yes, sir.
Can't you see Martin from the era of 60 through 68 marching and fighting for the injustices and inequalities that existed among brothers, people in the same country? It parallels, amen, brothers and sisters on the battlefield in the 1800s, the Civil War. How brothers who shared the same blood and the same common interests, who breathed the same air, shared each other's blood, all for the sake of justice, an ideal. One person's ideal over against another. I tell you, dreams never die. And Dr. King's dream live on. As we assemble here today, we are bearers. We are those who would see the dream become a reality. And I say to you today that dreams never die.
Yeah.
But is it important to understand that there's a struggle that's going on among us? There's a struggle that happens in this world. It is amazing, as I look at the scheme of things, 90% of the wealth in this country is only controlled by 10% of the population, leaving the other 90% of the population to fight over 10% of this nation's wealth and abundance. I tell you, there's a struggle going on. And those who represent the 90% of the wealth would have us believe, they would hoodwink and bamboozle us into believing that we must fight against each other for the 10% of the wealth. I want to suggest to you that dreams never die.
Amen.
There's a struggle going on in our nation, even now, as we talk about that 10% that owns or operates or controls 90% of this nation's wealth. Isn't it ironic that those same people are crying for a bailout?
Yes.
The same 90% who has held control of the nation's wealth are crying for a bailout. And I'm happy today because God has a way of always revealing and exposing our corruptness and our sinfulness. And makes it bare and plain for everyone to see. There's a struggle going on. Yet dreams never die. It is in the midst of struggle that dreams become a reality. It's in the midst of struggle that dreams take on new meaning and provide new hope for those who are oppressed and struggling. Dreams never die. But not just in our nation do we still experience injustice, corruption, but even in our own community. As Brother Campbell reminded us so eloquently this morning of how we continue to choose a particular area to inflict further injustice on a people just because of the color of their skin or because of their lack of political or economic power. There's a struggle going on. And what we have to come together as a community and understand is that Chapel Hill is not just the historic district. Chapel Hill is not just the elitist district. But Chapel Hill is composed of Richfield and Rogers Road and Northside. And decisions and policy that we make ought to embrace dreams. Dreams of a
better place and a better time and a better situation for all of Chapel Hill. There's a struggle going on just a block across the way from us. There's the situation of gentrification. Well, you talk about gentrification, and I've heard it said that gentrification has always been here, and that's true. But it's amazing to me that in the midst of the time of change, that gentrification continues to represent and have overtones of racism.
Yeah.
Gentrification, defined as the restoration or upgrading of deteriorated urban property by the middle classes, often resulting in displacement of the lower class people. This is symbolic, the changing of a neighborhood's demographics by outside forces. And I would like to remind the directors of the project that the kind of displacement they now call progressive was called progression by the industrialists before them. I guess sometimes even green is more important than brown. Mm-hmm. On the corner of Rosemary and Graham in a historically black part of town, the Queen of Sheba restaurant rose up like a peak on a cardiogram, the heartbeat of a neighborhood, but the buildings couldn't escape the running of the bulldozer. And I can't be the matador, maimed by the minions of modern masonry. The level horizon where the level that level her skies now look like a flat line. Cardiac arrest.
Wow.
You can hear the feeble beating of a broken heart, trapped beneath the rubble like 911 survivors. This is our ground zero. And it's ironic. See, on September 11th, but today on September 15th, my heart trembles at the sight of where two towers will be erected. That's the plane. One 10 stories and the other 7. Two middle fingers to the north side.
That's
right. From a poem written by a poet named Kane. Kane, will you stand?
Hey.
What a present reality. And how significant those words are. To be viewed by a young person in our community. To be viewed, amen, as a symbol and as a voice of one who's crying out like Dr. King of the injustices that still is pervasive in a nation that has creeds and convictions that we are a people that believe in unity, and we believe that we are a people, are a government for the people and by the people, yet we exclude a group of people. But the dream lives on. And the dream is embodied in each of you who are under the sound of my voice. The dream is embodied in every young person who walks one of these halls of ivory, either at the University of North Carolina or at one of these other institutions in the state. It is important that we come together as a community to speak out and to continue to cry loud and spare not, be the voice of crying out in the wilderness for righteousness and justice in the face of injustice, when there is environmental injustice, when there's racist environmentalism that exists in our community. I say to you, don't let the dream die, but let it live. Cause this dream to become a reality, if not for yourselves, for the future generations that will come after you. Let dreams live on, that those who are young in this audience can remember this day that the Chapel Hill community came together in celebration of a dreamer. Though the dreamer was killed, his dream will never die. the narrative closes from the book of Genesis, those who would kill the dreamer found themselves, much like those in the bailout, coming crawling, crawling to the very place that they rejected, that they mistreated, that they abused and misused. Like those brothers who came to Joseph seeking refuge during the time of famine. We have experienced and witnessed those who tried to kill the dream, experiencing a famine. But I'm so glad, that God will never let dreams die. Because you understand God's plan for dreams in Joseph. And though he was mistreated, though he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and you understand to be sold in slavery during biblical times was the equivalence of death, because you were banished to some place that nobody knew you, and nobody who knew you would seek to find you. But Joseph continued to keep the dream alive. He believed that God would see him through. And there were those who could not see clearly that he had to open their eyes. And I say to you this morning, I want to open your eyes. Wake up, you're sleeping in a dangerous time. You are sleeping at a time that could find you rushed into situations and judgments that legislators and politicians make that can change your very life. But you united as a people and raising your voice and speaking out against corruption and pollution that exist in our world. Those of you who are dare to dream, keep the dream alive.
Amen.
Dreams never die.
Amen.
Dr. King would be proud today, I believe, if he were alive, to know that the words he spoke and the hope that he had to see just to on tomorrow, the first African-American president inaugurated. And like Dr. King, I too have a dream. My dream is embedded in the vision that God has for his world. That the faith community would be his kingdom building agency that will eliminate injustices, that would kill racism, that would stop economic corruption in this country. I have a dream. I have a dream that people will still be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Because let's think about it as we think about gentrification. Who is it that live among us in our community where there is this progression of sustainability? Sustainability as defined by who? What has sustained this community is the cohesiveness of brothers and sisters working together. What has sustained this community is churches working together and lifting the poor voices of the angels and the archangels. What has sustained this community has not been quick and water. What has sustained this community has not been an influx of greed. But what has sustained this community has been faith.
Right.
Faith in a God who never fails. Faith in a God who will always see his people through. Faith in a God who will always stand by the oppressed and the downtrodden. That's what has sustained this community. And I would dare anyone who would challenge me on that definition of sustainability. I will cry loud. I will spare not. That we don't need an influx of bricks and mortar to sustain us. But what we need is faith.
in a God who's unable to fail. What we need is faith in each other. And what we need is love. Love for all God's creation.
Yes. Yes.
Been renewed. Somebody, I believe, now is ready to wake up.